The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. So baptism. Baptism is a little bit of a mystery, because even though it's so much at the dead center of our life as Christians, a lot of people don't really have a good grasp of what it's all about, or what really happens to us when the priest or the minister pours the water over us or dumps us down under the water. And almost as long as the church has existed, as long as there have been Christians, there's been disagreement about the proper methods of baptizing. Are you a dunker? Are you a sprinkler? Is baptism only for those who are old enough to make a mature profession of faith? Or is it also for little infants who are being raised up in the church by believing parents or grandparents or guardians? Christians have argued about the theology and the practice, the method of baptism, for centuries, and I think it'd be safe to say we'll probably keep on arguing about it until Jesus comes back and explains it all to us, and then we'll know. But the one thing that the church has always agreed upon is that baptism is at the heart of our life as Christians. Baptism is important. It belongs to every Christian. The fact of baptism, that we all get baptized, is not a matter of tastes or traditions, like whether we prefer hymns or worship choruses, whether we pray on our knees or standing with our hands raised, or whether we worship in a sanctuary with stained glass and candles, or out under a tree, or in a living room in somebody's house. Baptism isn't like that. Baptism, even though our theologies and our methods differ from church to church, from denomination to denomination, baptism is the birth passage of every Christian into the family of God. We hear about baptism in the New Testament right from the beginning, when John, the man that God sent to prepare the world for the coming of his Son, carried out his ministry by calling people to be baptized. John established himself out in the wilderness beside the Jordan River. He was a prophet, like the prophets of old, preaching about sin, kind of a fire and brimstone sort of preacher, warning people to repent and be saved. And everybody who really heard his warning, he brought out into the waters of the Jordan, and he plunged them under the water as a sign of cleansing and a new way of life. It wasn't a new thing for the Jewish people. Baptism wasn't an innovation that John brought in. He didn't invent it. Traditionally, whenever Gentiles converted to Judaism, they had to go through a time of preparation and study, and part of that ritual is that they were baptized. They were washed in water to purify themselves before they could become part of God's chosen people. The new thing about what John was doing is that he was calling Jewish people, people who were already God's chosen people, to be baptized. What he was doing is he was calling God's people to begin to really live like God's people should live, to share with the poor, to do their work honestly and without greed. It wasn't enough for God's people to just be descendants of Abraham and to follow the letter of the law. John was preaching that they needed changed hearts as well as lives. And people responded to that. They came. They came out by the thousands, and they repented of their sins, and they cried out to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He touched their hearts. They were in expectation, Luke says. And they were all questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ, the one they had been waiting for so many centuries. His message was so powerful that they thought he was the one. But John told them, "No, I'm not the one. The one who is coming is so much more powerful than I am, so much more great and glorious, that I am not even good enough to untie his shoelaces." And I read, and we'll take it with a grain of salt, because not everything you read is true, but I read that in those days the task of untying the thong of the master's sandals was such a lowly job that not even all slaves would be asked to do it. Only non-Jewish slaves, the lowest of the low, were in a low enough position that they would be asked to do that job. And John says, "You're all looking up to me, but he is so great that I'm not even good enough to do that demeaning task for him." That is how great this one who is coming is. And then John told them what this great one was going to do. "I've baptized you with water," he told them, "but this great one is coming with a whole new kind of baptism. Not baptism with water, the one that you've always known, but baptism with Holy Spirit and fire." From the very beginning, the announcement of the coming of Jesus came right along with the announcement of the coming of a new kind of baptism. And so it was the right and proper thing that the first sign of Jesus' ministry was that he himself went down into the waters of the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit revealed himself and came down on Jesus. And everyone heard the voice of God saying, "You are my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with you." It all began with baptism. And our life in Christ was inaugurated at our baptism, whether we remember it or not. And a lot of us don't remember it. My family was Roman Catholic, so I was baptized when I was such a little baby that I can't remember it at all. And my mother and my father held me before the priest, who poured the water on my head and anointed me with oil. And Carol, who grew up Southern Baptist, was baptized as a young teenager, when he was able to stand on his own 2 feet and profess his faith in his own voice. But the important thing about those two baptisms, and all baptisms, is not what we did or what we didn't do, but what God did. God's Holy Spirit has been at work in us from the very moment of our baptisms, as he has been in all your lives, every one of you, from the time of your baptism. And I'm not saying that God didn't show up in your life until you were baptized. If you look back on your life and you trace your path towards God, you can see that God was at work in your life way before you were aware of him. And sometimes you can even see God's work in your life before you were born. But baptism marks a real beginning of your life in Christ. And I think that people often fail to recognize the difference between the baptism of John and real Christian baptism, that new kind of baptism that Jesus came with. People came to John because they were convicted of their sins. They realized they needed to change their lives and be obedient to God. And those waters of the Jordan River were a sign to them that they were forgiven, they were cleansed, so they could make a fresh start. And I think sometimes as Christians, we see our baptism as that and no more. We make a public profession of our faith, repent of our sins, and baptism is a sign of a new beginning. Or in our tradition, the parents declare their intention to raise their child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's our phrase. And the baptism is a public celebration of their good intentions. Sometimes we see baptism as what we have to do to belong. Like baptism is a rite of initiation. But John told the people on that day that we just read about that Jesus was coming to give us something really different. It was not just a sign of our repentance. It was not just a sign of God's forgiveness, though it was that too. Because we needed more than John's baptism. We needed so much more than just a new beginning. Because no matter how many new beginnings we get left for ourselves, we always fall away from what we know is right. All of us have sins or habits or addictions or desires that are way stronger than we are. We can repent this morning of that thing that we are so tired of doing, and by this afternoon, we're going to fall right back into it. Without God, we are forever slaves to our weaknesses, to our appetites, to our wounds and our hurts. We needed more than just a chance to try to start being good all over again. That's exhausting. We needed to be set free. We needed transformation. We need healing. And the baptism that Jesus came to give us had real power. Real power to free us, real power to transform us, real power to give us life. It wasn't just a washing with water of our outsides. It was a pouring of the Holy Spirit inside of us into our hearts. The true element of the new baptism, the active ingredient, like they say on the packaging, isn't just water, a created thing, just the same as we are. It's the Spirit of God himself. And this new baptism isn't just a sign of our good intentions or a public profession of our faith. It is really and truly the beginning of the Spirit's work of transformation in us. Baptism in Jesus Christ is a thing of power. Your baptism was a thing of power. God living at work in you. When one of my children was born, and I didn't have time to ask permission to give names, so I'm not giving names, she had a little trouble breathing at first. And right after she was born, she lay there very still, and her skin was pretty blue, and it was really scary, because I couldn't tell if she was alive or not. And the doctor did his thing. He massaged her, and he patted her, and he did what he needed to do, and it felt like an infinity, but it wasn't very long before she drew in her first breath of air, and she turned pink and beautiful, and she made those awesome baby sounds, and she waved her arms and legs, and I just cried for joy. That's baptism. Baptism is our first deep breath of God's Spirit, the Spirit that makes you alive in a way that you could not be without him. It's no accident that the Hebrew word for spirit is the same as the word for breath. God has breathed his life into you. And it's not just that one-time thing and then he leaves you on your own to try and be good and keep it up. Just as a baby after that first breath of life needs to keep on breathing air for the rest of her life, you need the Holy Spirit always, every day, every moment of every day. And some days you need an extra deep breath of the Spirit. People call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's not a new baptism, it's just an extra deep gulp of what you need to stay alive. It all began with your baptism because the Holy Spirit is your life. As we say in the baptism rite, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. And so I'd like to close by saying a prayer for all of us from the baptismal rite. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon us, your servants, the forgiveness of sins and have raised us to the new life of grace. Sustain us, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give us an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen.
Amen.